tell me.
Say hello to my little friend!
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Yeah!
Stick around.
As you wish.
Bueller?
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in rain.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
88 miles per hour!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't serious. Call me Shirley.
And don't call me Shirley.
Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Bueller?
He slimed me.
Get to the chopper!
May the force be with you.
Seize the day.
Here's Johnny.
I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
If you build it, you will come.
I'll be back.
I'm too old for this shit.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
Wax on, wax off.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
I am the father.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
God, it's gonna hurt you.
Get away from me!
Wendy?
Get away!
Darling? Light of my life. It's gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Go ahead. Make my day.
So you're a killer?
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face.
Sweep the leg.
There can be only one.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Yeah. I have a question. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Bad news. Fog is getting thicker.
And Leon's getting larger.
They're here.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I feel the need for speed.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Top men.
Really?
Well, guys, welcome to Trek Talking. We have a special show planned for you guys tonight. You may have noticed we don't have the original intro, and that's because this is going to be a very different show for us. We're going to be talking about basically 80s movies, 80s sci-fi movies that we grew up geeking out to. And we might have a few surprises along the way as well. So before we dive right in, our phone number here is 646-668-2433. Who are you going to call? Trek Talkin'. That's right. Let your fingers do the walking and call Trek Talkin'. 646-668-2433. And tell us what your favorite movie memory was growing up in the 80s or maybe the late 70s, maybe the early 90s. We don't care. We just want to have some fun chatting with you tonight. And before we get too far, I want to introduce to you my awesome Trexperts. And we're going to start out with Charles. Charles is out in Las Vegas. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. Doing good. Started looking up 80s movies, TV shows, and animations. Like, man, my guy got a list. I'll just start checking
off
people that mention them. Yeah.
A lot of good ones.
And I got a few. I'm not sure they even fit in the category or not.
That's okay. We can talk about anything. And we also have out in Portland, we have with us our very own toy guy, Paul. How you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing okay, Uncle Jim. Doing all right. Ready for some fun conversation.
And we're going to have it. We're going to bring it. And last but not least, we have the donut guy, David. How you doing, David?
Eating donuts.
Of course. We wouldn't have it any other way. So, you know, I played a clip at the beginning with some quotes, and I think that movies, I know in my case, movies really shape who you are. The kind of movies you watch and really shapes you when you're a young and impressionable kid. And I want to start off by talking about one of these guilty pleasure movies, one of these movies that shaped me, one of these movies that I've seen hundreds of times and probably will watch 100 more. And it's Flash Gordon, Music by Queen. I just cannot get enough of that movie. And I think it's because of the soundtrack, Music by Queen. I remember I bought the soundtrack. I couldn't wait to get home and listen to it. And it's one of those weird soundtracks that is the movie. It's not just the music of Queen. It's the dialogue right from the movie. And this was like before videos, before the internet, before cell phones. And I could put on the Queen album, the soundtrack for Flash Gordon, and I could just sit there and see the whole movie in my mind with all the sound effects and everything on the album. I love the movie Flash Gordon. It's one of my guilty pleasures. I got my daughter hooked on it as well, and I love that movie. I don't know if you guys, what you guys think about that movie, but for me, one of those guilty 80s pleasures is Flash Gordon, Music by Queen. Never get enough of it. Never, never, never. Then, if we're going to talk cheesy B-movies, you know, I got to throw in there He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Another one of those guilty pleasures. And if you watched a movie, not only does it have Drago from Rocky IV, Dolph Lundgren in the main role, but you will notice some Star Trek actors flying around in that movie. Robert Duncan McNeil is in that movie. Tom Paris from Voyager. That's a fun movie. That's another one of those guilty pleasure, cheesy movies that I just like. And then there's some more serious ones like The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, Kurt Russell, another great movie that I love. If we're talking Kurt Russell, can't forget Escape from New York, right? Big Trouble in Little China, although I don't know if that's really classified as sci-fi. It's maybe it falls in there.
Of course it is. Of course it's a science fiction picture. It takes place in the future beyond the time, the period that it's made in.
That's true. That's true. Very, very true. And I love Kurt Russell in the 80s. We heard a clip in there from They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper. I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. Now, you know, I think the 80s was a big time for those one-liners. You know, they were, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger made those one-liners famous in the 80s because he couldn't say more than one line. So they gave him a lot of one-liners that turned out to be huge media clips that you hear all over the place. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I played a couple in that opening clip from Conan the Barbarian. Of course, Commando, Predator, you know, Terminator. He had all those one-liners going on in the early 80s and the mid-80s. But, you know, Total Recall, Get Your Ass to Mars, you know. Some of the other ones he did, well, The Running Man, I love that one as well. Predator, of course, can't forget that. Terminator, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Is there 7? I think 7's coming out. But what about you guys? What are some of your favorite movies from that era? Movies that you just can't get enough of that you watch over and over and over again?
Oh, man, there are so many. I mean, it was just a watershed era, dude. I mean, a watershed era. I mean, for one thing, I mean, relevant to the show, right? We're talking about a decade that really transformed pop culture's perception of science fiction in a major way, in a major, major way, and pushed it into the forefront of, you know, movie audiences everywhere. This is a decade that saw not one, but four Star Trek movies. Okay, let's not forget that. Starting with Wrath of Khan, we had four pictures all in the course of those years. I mean, the decade started out with like The Shining and Empire Strikes Back, right? I mean, I think when people think about 1980 and the turn of things, those are the two pictures from 1980 that everybody remembers, right? Flash Gordon, which you just talked about too, was a huge start to things there. And they really felt like pictures that had an 80s vibe to them in a lot of ways, right? Altered States. And then moving into 81, we had pictures like Scanners and Escape from New York. And that was like the right after Halloween, that was the calling card for John Carpenter, right? That there was going to be a whole bunch of movies for John Carpenter. Little did we know at that time. But Escape from New York was like the first team up of him and Kurt Russell in, you know, a theatrical release. And it was just dynamite. But it's a crazy era, man, when you think about it, in terms of how much product happened and how many good things that are just within the scope of one year. And I want to make my point very easily, okay? All these pictures came out within about 5 weeks of each other in June of 1982. So fasten your seatbelts. This is basically one a week. And these were all in a row. E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Blade Runner, The Thing, and Tron.
Oh, boom, my boom, God, boom, boom, Tron. Boom.
All of those were like in the space of like 5-6 weeks. I mean, just one after another. And all of them became, you know, shadow casting iconic, you know, great pictures. Now, some of them didn't find their niche in terms of like being embraced by a big group until a home video, right? Because The Thing had the misfortune of, I don't know if people remember, you know, people who were younger probably don't, but The Thing was considered a bomb when it opened because it had the misfortune of opening about 2 weeks after E.T. And E.T. became this, you know, magical, happy pop culture thing, right? And the entire world embraced it. And people were just not ready. You know, they just had a bowl of sugar, of raw sugar, right? And they were not ready for, like, you know, your mother's chili from hell with The Thing, right? They just were not ready for that. And so The Thing died and did not do well in its initial theatrical release. But a lot of these pictures, right, and some of the movies that, like, that Jim was mentioning, other, like, movies like Videodrome, right, from the great David Cronenberg, right? A lot of these pictures, they ended up finding the second life. A movie like Krull. I know there's a lot of Krull fans from like 1983, right? These are movies that really found their audience down the road thanks to VHS and the emergence of home video, which was great. And, you know, you're getting into like 1984, The Terminator, right, which changed everything. I mean, that was a picture that really did just change, you know, motion pictures and box office habits, like, in a major, crazy way. And then 84 was the same year that, you know, I mean, you think of this era, it's really dominated to a huge degree by the influence of one guy. And that guy would be Steven Spielberg, right? I mean, tremendously. Absolutely. So, because we're starting off with, like, pictures at the front of the decade, like like Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I want to say was 81, if I'm remembering correctly. But then mid-decade, 84, he was behind a couple of pictures that changed Hollywood again in back-to-back releases in the summer of Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And I don't know if people know this, but those two pictures caused such a stir when they were released. Those two movies are responsible for the PG-13 rating being created. Because the MPA was basically, hey, we got stuff that's just too gross and too extreme and too stressed out and too tense for PG. Parents are freaking out. We got to find another category. And PG-13 was born because of those two particular movies, which is crazy. But you can go through, man, and I mean,
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, which we talked about there. And then you've got great – what I like about this decade as well is this: I was a young guy living on my own out of college at the time, had a lot of freedom, a lot of time in the movies. And the great thing about this era, I think, for me, is that it's really punctuated between two kinds of movies. Big commercial successes like Back to the Future, the Star Wars pictures, you know, Return of the Jedi, movies like that, and really great pulpy pleasures, right? That like movies like Life Force. I don't know if people know Tobey Hooper's Life Force with Steve Railsback, but that's a great science fiction picture about space vampires. Space vampires, man.
There you go.
It's awesome. Movies don't like forget. Critters, okay? Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension. And then, of course, James Cameron's Aliens. Right, one of the greatest motion pictures of all time, which just came out on 4K. It looks amazing. So there's so many great pictures, dudes. I hate to just like spew like this, but there was just so many good things. RoboCop, right? I mean, RoboCop. It was an incredible era of movies. I mean, just so many good things, and literally something for every taste. You know, if you want to have your, you know, you want to like a highfalutin, great movies like Stanley Kubrick and The Shining, you got them. You want a pulp drive-in picture like Hell Comes to Frogtown. You got it. And it was just Killer Clowns from Outer Space. All these great pictures came out of this one era of film. So I think it's great that we're spending a little time talking about this tonight, because it was one of the most pivotal eras in movie history. Those of us who actually were, you know, old enough and grew up getting a chance, like Jim said, to kind of sort of, you know, sow our oats as those going to the movies every week to see like those were great days, man, because it's like it was one of the greatest. You know, we're starting to get back there again, I think, now with really great science fiction pictures being released one after the other. But, man, that's going to be a tough era to replicate, because so many of the absolute most, you know, long-lasting greats came out of that era. Charles, what are some of your favorite pictures from then, man?
Well, you mentioned a whole bunch of them, but movies, I'll just go down my list. Flash Gordon, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. E.T., Tron, didn't mention this, Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
First picture to really have totally almost all CG effects, almost exclusively in Last Starfighter. So that was a really big deal. That was a game changer.
Yeah. Yes. Terminator, Back to the Futures 1 and 2. Here's another one. I know people are Mad Max fans, but my intro to Mad Max was Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yep.
And having the Queen in there, Tina Turner.
The late Tina Turner.
And we had Road Warrior, late too, in 81. The right before that was still in an 80s picture, was Road Warrior. Absolutely.
Cheesy. Weird Science.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Forgot Weird Aliens, Science. Ed mentioned. Here's one Jim forgot about, and I know he loves this one. Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, God, yes. Yes,
the
another guilty pleasure.
Soundtrack. Yeah. Big Trouble in Little China, RoboCop, and that's just movies. I did some TV shows, threw some animations in there. There was so much in the 80s.
Now, what do you think about, why do you think the 80s in particular was so different? I mean, Paul just mentioned CGI, and that was The Last Starfighter, but up to that point, like The Thing. Let's talk about The Thing.
Yeah,
all
practical
effects,
man. All practical effects. It was great.
All practical.
I think one of the reasons that era is so great, man, is because you know, I think what happened, my own theory is I think that that was an era like, you know, where Spielberg really popularized the role of the director, right? And really, you know, basically created so much box office success that everybody was looking for the next Steven Spielberg. Right. That was Hollywood's whole thing. How do we find the next guy? So, you know, you run into situations where you've got all these directors who were contemporaries of Spielberg's. Right. A lot of them who went to film school with him, they were all getting their chance to take a turn at bat as well. Like, look at like the great Robert Zemeckis. Right. Who has done like so many, you know, all the Back to the Future pictures, Forrest Gump. Contact. I mean, he's done all those things, right? And he just did a ton of huge successful pictures, three Back to the Future movies in a row that all did great box office. John Milius, who did the Conan movie, right? And then like Jim Cameron. So I think you had this whole generation of guys who were directors who were sort of coming of age in an era where they were stepping up and being kind of forward and gutsy, and they had a vision. And they were willing to do stuff in a big way that, and they thought, and I think they were such movie geeks themselves as adults that they got what the audience wanted, right? They understood it. John Carpenter, the great John Carpenter. I mean, the 80s, you played clips from like They Live with Roddy Piper, but also pictures like Big Trouble with Little China, right? I mean, all those great John Carpenter movies, a lot of them, which Kurt Russell, all these guys were coming and they were in their the prime, all these guys are around the same age as directors. So it was like a wonderful era. Joe Dante, all these producers, amazing time. Amazing.
You might actually say it was the golden year of the golden decade of movies.
Oh, totally. I mean, really, well, I mean, it's just like, what a list.
We were just off era of these summer blockbusters. With Jaws coming out, we started, but let me bring up something that, we were going to the movies. Well, we weren't always going to the movies and still getting our sci-fi. Let me go down a list of stuff. Some of the stuff we watch on TV. Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. With Happy Days, we gained Mork and Mindy. Nanu Nanu. Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. Knight Rider. How about the original miniseries, Final Battle, and the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
Twilight Zone. ALF. Max Headroom. And we had four Doctor Who's in that year, in that decade. We were seeing some good stuff on TV. If we want to go just back a couple of years of the 70s, don't forget, we had Battlestar Galactica.
And Logan's Run.
We had
the Logan's Run TV series,
Yeah.
Which I think was more 70s, if I remember.
Yeah,
well, I think it's 79, maybe.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, guys, because I think this is you know, I'm really anxious to hear what everyone thinks about this, right? Because, okay, I mean, a lot of what we mentioned are really big movies that everyone's heard of, right? Because they're super popular. They, you know, they're classics, right? They're all classics, a lot of these ones that, like, you know, Charles is mentioning too, right? But I would like to ask all of you guys, right? Because in addition to being a big era of successful films, it was really a great era of, like, kind of B pictures and pulpy kind of drive-in flop movies that just sometimes were cool. So could everybody name a movie that's just a favorite, like, guilty pleasure pulp movie that they think maybe no one's ever heard of, but you still champion that movie, right? Name, go around. I bet Jim's got at least one or two.
Well, I was thinking Kurt Russell, Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett movie called Saturn III.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yep. I think Harvey Keitel was the bad guy in that movie.
And do you know the weird thing about that movie, dude, is because they really gave it to Harvey because he had such a strong Brooklyn accent, right? And they didn't think that was appropriate for science fiction. You go watch Saturn III. Harvey's dubbed for the entire picture. They got the actor who played Mozart's father in Amadeus. And they brought that guy in, and they dubbed Harvey. It's like none of that's Harvey Keitel speaking in Saturn III, which is crazy. It's just
wow.
Nuts. Yeah, it's
I did
just
not
kind of
that.
Insulting. Yeah, it's kind of insulting, really, when you think about it. But it's just like, oh, what, you know, I mean, it's Harvey Keitel here, you know? I mean, it's like, how dare you,
exactly.
Right? Just ridiculous. But man, but yeah, that was like at the very start of the decade. A picture I liked that's similar era, but I think is just also one that a lot of people might not know is The Great Outland with Sean Connery.
Yes.
That's a terrific science fiction picture. It's High Noon in space, basically, right? I mean, it really is. But it really, you know, sucks most of its atmosphere from Ridley Scott's Alien. It really feels like it could be an Alien sequel in some ways. But there's no monsters. It's just bad people with bad morals. So, but great picture if you've never seen it. Love Outland. Charles, what
that
about you, man?
One.
What's one that you think that nobody's maybe heard of that's just a pulp favorite of yours?
It's hard to come up with another good one that...
Like Battle Beyond the Stars.
Yeah, it's a good one, man. Yeah.
Oh, I was...
It's Seven Samurai, basically. It's Seven Samurai, right? But it's in outer space, right? It's terrific.
Harvey Korman. Classic cheese with John Boy. John Boy starred in it.
Yeah, yeah. Richard Thomas, yeah. I'll tell you one I like, man, that is one of my favorites. It's super pulpy, and I was just like, when I came out of the theater and saw it, I said, this is as much fun as The Terminator. I loved it. It's 1987, and it's a picture called The Hidden.
Okay? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really, really great. It's basically regular people are becoming super violent criminals, right, because something that might be an alien parasite is taking control of people and causing a violent crime spree across Los Angeles. Kyle MacLachlan is the star of it from, like, pre-Twin Peaks, I think, is when this picture came out. But it's just such a great – it's like something you'd see in, like, the drive-in, right? It's super low budget. It was made by, like, a first-time director. It's just – it's nonstop action from the first frame on. It's a great picture. The Hidden – check it out if you've never seen it. It really screams 80s like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, I just thought of one. Well, thought of one that fits in well. Short Circuit.
Oh, yeah.
Five.
Filmed here in Oregon.
Look at the idea sitting there in robotics.
Yeah, very popular movie. That picture, I remember, I think it might even be the same year. It was a real Ali Sheedy year, right? Because I think it came right on the heels of War Games, right? Which was also a really huge hit. And she was just getting a lot of work in cool pictures like that. But Short Circuit was a real crowd pleaser, man. Yeah. People love that picture.
If I remember correctly.
War Games. War Games, 83, Short Circuit, 86.
There you go.
It's
a couple years apart. Great.
Called Something Is Out There, which was a TV series based on The Hidden.
Oh, no way. Is that based on The Hidden?
I think so.
Oh, that's great. If that's the case, I'll have to check that out.
It has been a long time since I've seen it, but there was an alien that would jump from person to person. And I think it was based. I think so. It was called Something Is Out There. It was a very short-lived series, like 6-8 episodes. It wasn't very long. But what about Alienation?
Oh, yeah.
Man. Loved Alienation.
Yeah. And ended up having, like, people forget it was a movie before it was a TV series, right? I mean, it did pretty well. Mandy Patinkin, if I remember, right? And we played a clip earlier, speaking of Mandy Patinkin, of Princess Bride. Right. I mean, that was a huge, it's not really science fiction, but more fantasy, but just tremendous, huge, huge hit. Really, really beloved. I mean, it's one of the most popular cult movies now. It's a movie that parents want to show their kids, right, all the time. It's just really, really great.
Okay. You made a comment of, well, what made the 80s different? I can think of a couple of things that made the 80s different. And how we looked at movies. For one, the movie channel, Showtime. We could watch movies on cable, and we could watch them. Yeah, as you said, John Carpenter's a thing. I didn't see that in the theater. But I saw that. I saw it on Saturday night on one of the movie channels. And, That gave me nightmares watching
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody ever forgets the first time they watch that movie, man. It's just so disturbing. The first time when you don't know what's going to happen, it's just so great.
It was the first time that, okay, we could work around our schedule to watch a movie. We didn't have to sit there and watch it the one time it showed up on TV, if it showed up on TV.
HBO.
HBO. That's another one.
Yeah, everyone was getting a little bit more control, right? And it was just like, oh, we can sort of do this on our own thing, right? And people were starting to realize you could watch a picture at home.
Well, what else could we do? Go.
This is a family show.
Video.
I can't really say.
Let's go to the video. Let's go to the video store and rent a video. You can rent these movies too. Oh, it's the weekend. Let's go rent a couple of movies to watch.
Yeah, the Blockbuster era, man. The Blockbuster.
Blockbuster
video.
Absolutely. Just crazy.
Blockbuster, and, you know, for me, Warehouse Records.
I think in the 80s, I think that, these studios were not afraid to do something different. They weren't, like today, all the movies are heavy-duty CGI. They're all looking for that big blockbuster. They're all like the Avengers, Avatar type thing. They want, $1 billion, $200 billion,
Yeah, it's like they're trying to compete.
In the 80s, they weren't afraid to give you a movie like Battle Beyond the Stars or Flash Gordon. Everybody wasn't shooting for that E.T. movie. And they all got their piece of the pie. They all got their niche in there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, might have been, I'm maybe a little bit cynical when I say this, but I think it might explain all, because some of these movies are just crazy, man. And, we talked about, aggressive young directors who had a lot to say, right, and who were willing to go out there and say, I got a great idea, and walk in and pitch their picture, right, because it's the Top Gun era, right? But I think, famously, Friends, I mean, it's no exaggeration here, but famously, drug use in Hollywood during the 80s was off the chain. I mean, it really was. I think judgment from a lot of studio executives was not maybe at its most focused, right? And if you have a guy like James Cameron or Robert Zemeckis walking in, talking a mile a minute and saying, I've got a way you're going to make your next $100 million, it's really easy to get caught up in their enthusiasm and say, yes, we're green lighting this picture, right? Which explains a lot. I don't know that a picture like Scanners would get made today, or pictures like Humanoids from the Deep or whatever. Some really crazy.
Oh, my God, I love that movie.
Pulpy stuff, man, that is infamously 80s. But a lot of movies, too, that were just really fun and crazy. Like, I don't know if you guys remember if I remember right, it was a Joe Dante picture, but with Inner Space with Dennis Quaid and Martin Short, right? It's a comedy, but it's a great little thriller too, and it's just super fun. But those are the pictures you promotion was so weird because there was no internet back then, right? You would just suddenly hear about a movie word of mouth from a friend, right? Or see the poster down in the subway, right? And you'd be like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. But you had no buildup to it, and you didn't have any expectations. You didn't have any prejudgment like you now today, where it's like, I've judged a movie that doesn't open for 6 months yet, and I already have preset expectations because of all the excessive marketing. But then it's like, you didn't have anything like that, right? You'd just be like, oh, that looks like cool. Well, it opens tomorrow. Let's go see it, right? And you go get your buddies, and you go check it out. And maybe you would not see it when it came out in first release, or maybe it would be like Charles said. You'd see the box in the video store a year later, and you'd be like, oh, I was always really curious about Steel Dawn or Hell Comes to Frogtown or Creepazoids or, any of these things, right? And you'll rent it for the first time. Or if it was a movie you're really fond of, like RoboCop or, Spaceballs, or, From Beyond or whatever, you'd go rent it and watch it again and again and again and again. And that's how pictures like Aliens and The Thing became so popular. These people they would get them for home video, and they would just watch the hell out of them over and over and over again.
Now, was that Excalibur? Was that in the 80s?
That's a good question, man. I think it was right at the beginning, if I remember correctly.
I actually have a list of movies myself.
I want to say 81. Does that sound right? I'm pretty sure it was an 80s picture. Yeah, but really great. John Borman, who did Deliverance, is the guy who directed that. And just amazing picture. Really, really great. We were talking Logan's Run earlier. 76 is Logan's Run. But Excalibur was like, definitely an 80s picture.
81.
For sure.
So
really, really exciting.
A movie, you guys. The most popular 80s movie back in the day. The Goonies.
Oh, God,
Goonies.
Another Made in Oregon movie, man. Another Made in Oregon picture made on the coast, just like Short Circuit. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, Dragon Slayer was another 80s picture that was really popular.
I was a very big fantasy movie watcher back in the day. And Willow became one of my favorite.
So great. What did you think of the TV series? They rebooted that a little while ago.
I didn't care for it as much. I don't know why. It kind of flopped for me.
Willow was fun, though, as a picture. I remember going to see that, and I thought it was great. You know, it was really entertaining and fun.
Well,
so, you know, I mean, that's years before Lord of the Rings, man. Pictures of Willow and Excalibur were made. So really influential stuff. Time Bandits was from the same era.
Also,
the really
Never
great.
Ending Story.
And if, oh, God, that's an 80s touchstone if there ever was, man. I mean, that really was. I don't know if you guys watch Stranger Things a lot, right? You guys all watch that show?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a show that really embraces the 80s aesthetic, right? And they actually, there's a whole sequence in, like, one of the latter seasons where they're singing the theme to the Never-Ending Story because they're all going to see it and they love it so much, man. And then, I don't know if you guys know Terry Gilliam, but do you ever see Brazil? That's another great 80s picture. It's a little bit intense, very surreal fantasy with Robert De Niro, another Terry Gilliam picture from the Time Bandits guy, but really great fantasy film.
Well, speaking of sci-fi, have you guys ever seen the movie Explorers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Dante. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Love it. River Phoenix. River Phoenix picture.
Spaced Invaders is another one.
Yeah. Okay. These are all movies that did really well on home video, too. They really, really did.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Our friend Ryan mentioned one. It's not sci-fi, but it's definitely a guilty pleasure. Cannonball Run.
Yep.
Is that about a racing car?
It's like Burt Reynolds. No, it's like a Burt Reynolds picture. Yeah.
Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, a bunch of all-stars. Just racing across country. See who
gets
there first.
Yeah, okay.
I remember that picture.
Do you remember the Final Countdown?
No.
That was the aircraft carriers, right?
The USS Nimitz goes back to Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Really good movie, I got to say. That's a really good picture. That holds up really well. It's super fun.
I mean, is that's not really sci-fi, but kind of, because it's got time travel type of stuff.
Okay, how about this? Legend.
Tom Cruise. I remember, I know it's not perfect, man. I mean, it's a goofy movie in a lot of ways, but I remember going to see that picture in the theater, and I was riveted. I mean, I was riveted. It was just, I love Ridley Scott, man. And the Tim Curry makeup as Lord of Darkness was
I didn't even know that was Tim Curry till later in life.
It was just so surreal looking, and it was just beautifully shot. Amazing. I got to say, for me, though, just the one of the movies that of all my movie going experiences during the 80s, the one that sticks with me that I just had the most fun with, and I got lucky because it ended up being one of my favorite movies, was I was living in New York at the time, and my best friend and I, we went to like an Upper East Side theater, super hot day. It was just ridiculously hot, and we were lucky enough to go to like the opening Friday matinee of Jim Cameron's Aliens, right? And we're big fans of the first movie, right? But there was not a lot of marketing. You didn't really know what to expect other than it was some kind of a thing with war, right? But I don't even know if we'd seen much in the way of trailers, right? Just kind of went in blind. And it was such a good movie, and if I had a nickel for every time I've watched that movie since, I'd be living in the Cayman Islands. I mean, I've just watched it a million times. It just came out on 4K this last week. It looks incredible. But I'll tell you what, man, I remember to this day when Sigourney Weaver comes walking out at the end in the power loader to face off the Queen and says her famous line. That audience went nuts. I mean, every single person in the theater got up on their feet and screamed. I mean, fists clenched. It was an incredible, fun, collective moment just to be with a big audience of like jaded New Yorkers who just got totally sucked in, man, and just loved it. It was just the most fun top three movie going experiences for me ever. But to me, it's when I think of like, you know, going to the movies in the 80s, that's always the first thing I think about because it was such a fun, satisfying time. And I had no idea what was going to happen next. And my heart was in my throat the entire time. It was just like, what a great movie. So super fun.
That was, I remember that vividly.
Wait. Oh, okay. Yeah, here's a really interesting movie. What do you guys think about Red Dawn?
Patrick Swayze.
Has anybody Patrick seen Swayze. Red Dawn before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Correct.
There's a movie coming out from the director of Ex Machina in a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. I know it's doing film festivals now, called Civil War. That, you know, sort of says, what if there's a civil war in America kind of a thing, right? And that is the first thing I thought of was Red Dawn, right? Because that's another John Milius picture, the guy who did Conan, right? And Milius is an interesting guy. I mean, he really is, but he's kind of an extreme reactionary, you know. I mean, you don't know with him how much of it is just persona, but he likes to position himself as being a super arch conservative, man. I mean, super gun-toting, you know, red meat-chewing, rabid, you know, extremist, right? But that may just be his playful persona. But of all the young guns of the Spielberg era, right, he's always, like, seemingly the most conservative. But it's a pretty interesting movie, though, David. I mean, I think – I don't think it, you know, is really dated, because I feel in a lot of ways it's as relevant as ever. Because it's basically the dawn of World War III, right? And you got a bunch of teenagers in a small American town who have to band together when, you know, Russian troops start landing in the freaking high school football field, right? I mean that is a story that you could go in and pitch right now, right? And I think politically incredibly relevant to today's audiences. So I think if you've not seen it, I don't know that everyone's going to like it, because it is a little, you know, it feels like a Chuck Norris movie in a lot of ways, right? Of which there were a billion in the 80s, right? I mean, if I had all those Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal pictures, oh my God, those, we all must have seen a bunch of them, right? They were hard to avoid, you know, all those things, right? They were really, Steven Seagal especially was just all over the place. But so it's kind of one of those movies, but man, it is fun. I mean, Red Dawn, I think it came out right after The Terminator, if I remember correctly. But man, did anyone remember seeing The Terminator in theaters? Did you, Uncle Jim, did you go when it opened?
Absolutely. The first movie
crazy.
That I took my wife to, or actually, she was my girlfriend at the time in high school, Karen, we went to see Tron. That was our first date. We saw Return of the Jedi. We saw Terminator. We saw Aliens. I took her to all the big ones. That's why she's still my wife.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, Tron was a big deal. I don't know that it was like a huge success per se, but man, people connected with it. And I remember, you know, I think maybe you guys might share this with me. I don't know, but this is an era where a lot of us spent a lot of time in arcades. You know, with, you know, pockets overflowing with quarters, right? And that Tron video game was ubiquitous. You could not escape that thing. It was like that and Stargate were just there. You could not avoid it. It was just no matter where you went, any arcade anywhere, they were going to have frickin' Tron. I mean, it was just all over the place.
And there was two versions. There was the stand-up one, and then there was the sit-down one where you rode the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. I always said the stand-up we had, right? That was great.
No, three. You also had the disc one, too.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's crazy. We throw the disc. Ryan, how about David Bowie in the Labyrinth with the dancing puppets?
Oh,
you guys
must
have seen that.
So great.
Hey,
so
her head don't come off.
We gotta talk about too. I think that two pictures that just I think we maybe mentioned them briefly. That I think changed the trajectory of pictures so much. Across the full spectrum of Hollywood. Right, 1986, Top Gun. 1988, Die Hard. Okay, those two movies.
They
greenlit so many clones and sequels, and just, you know, now we take it for granted. But man, did those movies spawn a ton of imitators. And how crazy was it a couple of years ago to see that Top Gun could still connect with audiences, right? That's like we were talking about how a picture like Red Dawn is still relevant, but people went bananas for the new Top Gun movie. I mean, it was like there was no time passed in between then and 86, I think is what it was.
Yep.
Yeah, 86, same year as Aliens, right? That was a crazy time. But boy, did audiences love that movie, and did they love that sequel. So just
Did Lethal Weapon come out in the 80s?
The first one, the first Lethal Weapon was 87. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's definitely part of that same era too, man. On the heels, I don't know if they... I mean, it's hard to say that there would be no Lethal Weapon if there hadn't been a Die Hard, but it was certainly during that same era. And that same mid to late 80s period, man, for me, I was, because I remember this, going to see it at a beer hall in Portland. You know the Mission Theater, David? Do you know that theater?
Up in Northwest. I lived in Portland for about maybe 12 years. So
it was early days. Early days for the Mission, it was like a pub theater, right? One of the first ones to ever have that going. And that was where I had the good fortune of going to see Predator for the first time, which I knew absolutely nothing about. I had no idea.
Do the chaffa.
All I know is Arnold was in it, man. And it was just like, I said, Arnold's in it, and it looks like there's a bunch of action. Okay, I'm in. And I had no clue what I was in for, and man, it was just the greatest.
So,
man.
Did it
what
make
a great
you jump
picture.
Punch?
The first Predator?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, man. Absolutely. I love monsters and science fiction. I'll see anything. And it was just so fun, and it was just funny as well. I mean, it had a lot of great laughs to it. Terrific picture. Really,
you guys remember a Disney flick called The Black Hole?
Oh my God! Yeah, absolutely. It's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea in space.
I just loved that movie. I thought that Vincent, voiced by the great Roddy McDowall, was awesome. Maximilian Schell. I mean, I think Psycho, the guy from Psycho, was in that as well.
Anthony Perkins, totally.
Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and really, really fun. Big, goofy, really kind of trying to play to both the kid audience and adults. I don't think it was as successful as like Last Starfighter, but still really fun to go see. I mean, a great spaceship design in there too. Jim, you ever see a picture called Nighthawks with Sylvester Stallone?
Yes, I have.
It's another one of those great pulpy B movies. I love it because Rutger Hauer is the bad guy. He's like an international terrorist who's just totally amoral. And like Billy Dee Williams is in it and Stallone. And it's just so fun, man. If you like a good cop picture, Nighthawks is just dynamite. Holds up so well. And it's just, it screams 80s just wonderfully. It's just, you know, and again, we didn't really talk much about these pictures, but this was the Rambo era, right? I mean, speaking of Sylvester Stallone, all the Rambo pictures came out then, right? A lot of Rocky pictures. Oh, God, Rocky III. Was there ever a more 80s picture ever? Rocky IV, right?
Rocky IV.
I must break you. You know, Dolph Lundgren, man. That was total 80s candy, man. Those were super. But, boy, audiences loved them. 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Rockies, those were huge hits. Everybody loved them. They were just ridiculously successful. Absolutely great. So I love that we chose this topic, Jim, because it's so much fun. It just makes me want to go run to the video shelves and pull out my DVDs and Blu-rays and just to watch these all over again. It's just what a fun time.
We should play Name That Movie by saying certain quotes from certain movies.
Oh, God, that's a great idea.
Well,
that's a great idea.
Paul. Paul, you talked about the resurgence of Top Gun. Surprisingly, look at the resurgence that Ghostbusters is getting.
Oh, yeah,
that
huge. You got another one coming out, right?
That last one came out
tomorrow.
Tomorrow's one's coming in hot.
Wow.
This new one's coming out hot, and it's looking successful.
Okay, let's all sing the Ghostbuster theme.
I'm surprised Paul didn't.
Okay.
Dune.
Which one?
Dune, the original 1984
oh,
movie.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with me? Oh, how did I forget this? Of course. Of course that's a good
okay.
Oh, I'm embarrassed. There's so much. This is the problem, though, is there's so much stuff from this era to talk about, right? I mean, so many pictures. But, yeah, the original Dune, 1984, same year as Terminator, right? So it's easy to forget. But, you know, I feel bad. Dune gets such a bum rap compared to the new movies, right? But and it's certainly goofy in places, but you know, visually, wow. I mean, wow. I mean,
I think
what
Dune tried to do was they tried to do something different other than Star Wars, that they're on a desert planet. It just kind of reminded me of a different type of, like, alternate universe Star Wars. So that's what it kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, and it was weird because it's like, you know, the David Lynch who we would come to know from became ensconced in the public mind, David Lynch, right? It's from like Twin Peaks and Blue Velvet, David Lynch, that guy, right? I mean, this kind of is a bit of a, you know, weird thing to take that eccentric of a director, right, and say, can you make us a mainstream science fiction picture? And about the, and I think it wasn't a great marriage, and he even went so far as to like take his name off of a lot of cuts of the picture. You know, David Lynch did. You see it like when it airs on TV, if it ever does, it'll usually say Alan Smithy, right? That old pseudonym. I think what they were hoping would happen, in terms of like, you know, what they would get by bringing in a dude like that, was like the level of success that they had with like David Cronenberg, right? Because David Cronenberg had a really great success moving from, you know, his weird art house universe of like Videodrome and Scanners to great success, because he ended up doing Stephen King's The Dead Zone, which is a magnificent Stephen King picture, really, really good, with Christopher Walken. If you've never seen it, it's one of the best Stephen King pictures ever. And then The Fly, which is another, you know, top-tier 80s picture, I think. I mean, disturbing as hell. But it's like audiences didn't know what they were in for. I mean, a dude gets his leg thrown up on and dissolves in The Fly. I mean, it's just, like, crazy. But audiences showed up where, for Lynch, I don't know, that they just weren't ready yet, and it was just too goofy in some places. But, man, you gotta think of pictures like The Dead Zone and The Fly when you're talking about the 80s. I mean, what a golden era. Those are so fun.
Okay,
speaking of
the
80s, there's another aspect of the 80s that we haven't talked about, and I think we should talk about it right now, and that was 3D. And I remember going to see a movie called Space Hunter 3D Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
Peter Strauss? You had to wear the glasses.
Yeah, I want to say Peter Strauss, dude, I think. Yeah, I remember that.
I thought the 3D stuff didn't come out until the 90s.
This was kind of like crude bad 3D, man. It was not good.
Okay.
It was pretty weak. But,
yeah,
but it was fun.
3D, Friday the 13th, 3D, Space Hunter 3D.
Oh, God. Have you ever sat through Jaws? Did you sit through Jaws 3D?
Oh, my God. You know what? I saw
so
it in
bad.
The movie theaters with my wife, and then when it came out on home video and I watched it, I'm like, oh, my God. It's a rubber shark wiggling around.
Oh, it was painful.
It was so bad.
Yeah. You know what? I would rather than that, go check out, I don't even know, 87, 88, but there was Kevin Dillon did a remake of The Blob that, most remakes usually suck. But this is a really decent remake, and the effects are amazing. It's really,
it's
worth checking out.
Speaking of rubber, what about The Little Shops of Horrors?
Yeah. Oh, Steve Martin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis, man. Rick Moranis is an 80s movie star. How funny is that?
Well,
Hot Hunter. Yes, that's a good one, too. There can be
which
only one?
Well,
okay.
Highlander.
Oh, God, Highlander. How did I forget this? So good, man.
I was
going to
mention Queen, the Queen album, Don't Lose Your Head.
It's a Kind of Magic, I think, was the soundtrack.
It's a Kind of Magic soundtrack, yep.
For Highlander.
What about
Another
The Color
good
Purple? Anybody
color
seen
purple.
The Color Purple?
The Spielberg movie?
It was 1985.
It was 85, yeah. Whoopi Goldberg and Danny Glover, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Oprah. Let's not forget Miss Winfrey. Yeah, Oprah was in that picture too. But man, that's I feel like if you had to, you know, I mean, we talked about so many different filmmakers who were popular then. But man, again, Steven Spielberg. What a he really kind of set the tone because he just made so many pictures. I mean, not just the ones that he directed, but he would go and, you know, take his buddies and he would produce their pictures, like all the Back to the Future movies, right? And all those movies like that, or Joe Dante pictures, right? They were all his buddies, and he would be basically executive producer on just everything. He'd have like 50, 60 pictures that he was like behind the scenes on, like, you know, helping, you know, gain interest in and back in, because he was richer than, you know, oh my God, he's had so much money. I mean, he was such a success. He could bankroll anything he wanted. So if Steven wanted to make it, it got made, man. It was just like, what a crazy era.
I think these movies were 1979. But I'm remembering going to see a movie called Buck Rogers and another movie called Battlestar Galactica. Back in the day, you guys can refresh my memory, but I think they were TV shows first and then a movie.
Well, I can tell you what happened. I can tell you what happened because I had really good luck as a kid. This is like 1978, I think it was. It was the summer of 78. And anyone here besides me remember an old magazine called Starlog magazine?
Oh my God, I live for that magazine.
Yeah. Starlog magazine was like the internet during like the 80s, basically. It was like where you got all your news, right? And we knew that there was going to be a TV show called Battlestar Galactica because we'd seen production art from Ralph McQuarrie, who had done Star Wars production art, and we knew that Richard Dykstra was involved, who'd done the special effects for Star Wars, right? So everyone was super excited to see the series. And I'm on vacation with my parents, right? And we're up in Canada in like British Columbia and we're in a hotel and I'm like looking at like the, you know, the local newspaper or whatever. And oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Just down the street at the movie theater in Canada, they had Battlestar Galactica. And so what they did then as a release strategy, right, is they took the 2-hour pilot of these TV shows like Buck Rogers and like Battlestar Galactica. And as a way to generate interest, they released them as theatrical pictures in theaters in the overseas market. And lucky for me, Canada was considered overseas. So I got to see that in the theater for the first time, which was crazy. Gentlemen, I have to apologize because I have I got to hang my 80s hat and go make some caramel popcorn and find a new Coke or something, but I have to leave early tonight because I have a crazy other commitment I have to go to. But this has been the most fun conversation ever. Sorry if I monopolized it a lot, but I got
before
super
you
excited.
Go, I got one more movie to mention.
All right, man.
This is a lost Disney movie. I don't know if anybody's heard of it before, but it's called The Black Cauldron.
Oh, I do know that movie. Know that movie. It's really good. It was unavailable forever. It was you can find it now pretty easily, but it was like, yeah, it was a lost picture for a long time. I agree. That's a lovely fantasy movie, man. That's really worth seeing out. Beautifully done. Really, really great. So sorry for monopolizing a lot of this. I could not control myself. It was just, this is one of my favorite movies, favorite eras of entertainment ever. And when Jim threw this idea out there, I just about blew my aorta out. I was so excited because I was just like, there's so many good movies here. So folks listening,
Roger
if you
Rabbit.
Haven't seen a lot of these, you know,
Roger
go
Rabbit.
Check them out. All the stuff is available on video. Go watch some of these things that we mentioned that you've never heard of before. And you will love them. You will make a lot of great discoveries. And a lot of the filmmakers who are huge, big deals now are really cutting their teeth back in those days. So guys, keep talking. I beg you. And I will look forward to listening to hear where the conversation goes later. All right. Thank you.
Have a great day. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thanks, friends. Bye-bye. You're the rock. Really had fun.
So you guys remember there was a lot of TV shows, I think, that Charles had mentioned earlier. And I want to go, I think I have to go just a touch prior to the 80s, because there's a couple of movies that I want to touch on that I think influenced, well, me anyways, that weren't in the 80s, but were right on the cusp of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Logan's Run. I loved Logan's Run. I mean, I think Logan's Run was the first real sci-fi movie that I ever saw. Jenny Agutter, Michael York. I loved that movie. And, of course, it spawned the TV series as well. But I think that was 76, maybe?
So that was your first sci-fi movie. Charles, what was your first?
Logan's Run, 76. That was an interesting one, David, because the story of that one was the fact that everybody lived to 30, and then from 30 you moved on. And Logan's Run dealt with the people that did not want to move on and found out the truth of what was happening.
Have you seen that movie, Charles?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I remember it.
Yeah. How about you, David? Have you seen Logan's Run?
No, I was too young. I was not even born yet.
Well, let me tell you, part of the reason why the movie sticks in my memory, first of all, Michael York and Jenny Agutter. Jenny Agutter is one of my favorite actresses because, well, she was in two of my favorite movies, American Werewolf in London and Logan's Run. And the reason is because they were the first boobs I ever saw as a kid, was Jenny Agutter's boobs in Logan's Run. And then, of course, I saw them again in American Werewolf in London. First boobs I ever saw, Jenny Agutter, in both those movies. But I love Logan's Run. They have a little chip in their hand that changes colors. When the chip flashes red, you have to go on carousel. And they spin you around, and then you go up and you explode. And if you decide you don't want to go on carousel, you become a runner. And you try to run away and escape, and that's when the Sandmen come after you. And, of course, Michael York played Logan, and he was a Sandman. And his job was to hunt down people that didn't want to go on carousel. In a nutshell, that's the movie. And Farrah Fawcett is in it as well. So that was one of the first sci-fi movies that I saw. But let's go back a little bit earlier. I think 1975, I think. There was a movie called Rollerball. And who was that? Not Kirk Douglas. Not Steve McQueen. The same guy that was in Alien Nation was in that movie. I can't remember his name right now. I'm getting old. But Rollerball, I think, was one of the first movies that tried to make a political statement. And that was, in the future, there's this sport called Rollerball. And you have motorcycles and you have guys on roller skates. And they shoot a cannonball out. And it rolls around the rink and they scoop it up with this metal glove. And they have to put it in the goal. And that's the game. And everything is controlled by the corporations. And the corporations give the wives to the players, and they control the people, the masses, through this game called Rollerball. And the main hero in Rollerball is Jonathan E. And he becomes bigger than the game, and people start chanting his name, and the corporations want to kill him because he's a threat to their way of life. And it's got this really, really funky organ music that plays when they're rollerballing around, and the corporation decides they're going to change the rules to the game, where the objective of the game is now to kill everybody else on the field, so that there's only one person left alive. It's really early. I want to say 75. I think it was 1975. Huh. I'm going to look it up. I think it was.
Yeah, there is actually a movie I wanted to touch based on something similar to Logan Run, what you were mentioning, where they had to, do all this stuff to, stay alive or whatever. this is, I'm kind of going off of 1980s, but this was a very interesting film that me and my wife watched a while ago that actually came out in like 2011. Has anybody heard of a movie called In Time?
I have not. No.
Nope. This was similar to Logan's Run in a way, where instead that you mentioned that they would, you know, pass away at like to age 30 or whatever. Well, this was kind of the opposite direction, where you have ageless life, where you stop aging at the age of 25. And the interesting thing about this movie was that instead of using currency as money, they actually use currency in time. And so the time actually starts ticking down, and when you hit zero after the age of 25, you just fall over dead. And for some reason, it was like this currency. It was like they had a little visual clock on their arm that told you how long of life you have left, but you can add and take away, and that's how they would, like, buy stuff. And so they would work to gain time. And so it was just kind of like an interesting take on living forever kind of thing. And so it was a very interesting movie. It's definitely an action sci-fi, and I think it's a thriller. But it was a very interesting movie that dealt with how people go about their lives, just spending their time as currency, which is kind of interesting.
Now, I don't think this movie was in the 80s. I think it was in the 90s, but I'm not positive but do you guys remember Lost in Space?
Yes.
The movie? Yeah. Not the current one that's on Netflix, but there was a movie that came out with Heather Graham before the Netflix series. I'm not sure if it was in the 80s or not.
No, there was a TV series.
Yeah, there was a TV series, but there was a movie that had the guy from Friends in it and Heather Graham. I think it was 89, 91, 90, sometime. Lost in Space.
It was 98 with Gary Oldman.
Oh, yeah, I'm way off. I thought it was 91, but it was 98. So we have a caller on the line. You guys want to talk to a caller?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, let me see if I can get this thing to work. There's gremlins in my line. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talking tonight. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Kabla, my brothers.
Hey,
Ray.
Yo,
what's going on?
Oh, yo, you gave me a birthday gift just now. Remember, I'm in 51 Sunday, and you guys gave me a birthday gift. You went to the 80s. You were the 80s movies. And believe me, that was my era of movies, TVs, and especially animation. So you guys gave me a birthday gift where I actually don't even know about it.
Well, that's good, Ray. So,
yeah.
Ray, what was your favorite 80s movie, if you had to pick one?
Okay. Actually, I don't know if you remember, but my favorite movie was, I got a couple. You know, I like Karate Kid, came out in 84. But you remember, you told me we on sci-fi. Do you remember the movie Crawl?
Yes, 1983.
Yeah.
Yep.
83. You remember Crawl? You remember The Dark Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah.
With Jim Henson.
Right. Yep.
Now, I don't know what happened was, okay, today, right, I'm on YouTube today, right, and they have a Transformers anniversary, which I forgot. The cartoon series used to come on TV years ago, and Voltron for a full anniversary, and everybody and their mother was on that convention. I was rolling.
Transformers, more than me.
Megatron,
came out
1984. Yes, 1984. Yes. I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it. And on to the 80s movie, you know what I'm saying, during my time, you know, it was You know what? That's what moves with movies. Well, I'm no CSI. Well, I'm no, you know, special. Okay. Yes, those things. Like you say something about Tron, or you say about what Escape New York. What about Blade Runner? You ain't put Blade Runner in that mix.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, Blade.
Oh, you got to put Blade Runner? Okay. What about Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yep, Robert Zemeckis.
Yes, Roger Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, my God. I just walk home with now. I turn you guys. Oh, I turn around. Oh my God, you guys did. No, you guys did a lot of damage before I came over. Oh, I came home. Y'all guys did a lot of damage. Let me guess. Let me guess. Yeah, let me guess. Star Trek to the Wrath of Khan. I forgot. Oh, you know, forget about that joint.
Yeah.
Forget about that. He did a lot of damage. What about other Naked Gun?
Now,
was that 80?
Yeah, 88. And then they go. When Leslie Nielsen, and and Frank Drebin.
Huh.
And O.J. Simpson.
Yes. I was watching some show. I don't know. You guys got it's called the show called it's a sitcom called Kelly Comedy. Okay, it's on antenna. So, you know, so have on that channel, right, so you know it's on antenna, they show, like, you know, like, they show all the old 7-8 sitcoms, all of them, right? So they had this thing called Cast the Bench. So this weekend, they're going to show Alf. I'll be home Saturday and Sunday. Oh, yes.
Yep, Alf.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, Alf.
I love Alf.
Yeah.
Great stuff. I love Al. Yeah, I'm saying I love Al. Remember, like He-Man and She-Ra cartoons, all that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. You know what?
They're 41.
Do you guys have a show called Battle of the Planets? Was that? Do you remember that?
I got that. I got Amazon. They came the other day. I got that.
Battle for the.
I
remember.
I got that. Include 1999. With Mother Lander, I finally got it. What happened was, right, I want the Blu-ray, and I got a Blu-ray. I got that, including the 80. Oh my God! You know what, guys? Yo, if I was there with Robert now and your book of Robert right now, man, I'll probably be up there until the next 2 days.
Okay. Well, Ray, Ray talked about all the animation. Here's a series that's 42 years old. What series was known as Action Force in the UK?
Don't you? I didn't really watch that show.
G.I. Joe was Action Force in the UK.
I got G.I. Joe in the USA on cartoons. You know what I'm saying? From 83 to 87. Doing a series, including a series on, like, G.I. Joe with the Master Fight. G.I. Joe with Revenge of Cobra when they put the World Dominator. G.I. Joe with the one where they built the Pyramid of Darkness. G.I. Joe 86 when Sergeant Slaughter just came in a ride as a pencil, and then G.I. Joe came out 87.
Now,
the next series came in 87.
When did Johnny Quest come out?
Johnny Quest came out in 1964 because when the Flizzle came out in 1964, we can remember during the season, that was Harold and Barbara a decade. So the Flizzle came out in 1966. Johnny Quest did not come out until 1964 to 1966. Yep. And he turned around, you had Space Ghost, You have Birdman. You have the Herculoids. Come on, man. Come on, yo. Please, yeah. Any other questions? Anyone go ahead with this. What we do next? Channel 2 next?
Now, what about Space 1999?
I got it. I got on DVD and Blu-ray. It came out in 75 to about 76, and they made two seasons. But Marlon Landau and Barbara Brink.
I got it in only
two seasons. All right, and then you turn around the second season, right? Doesn't have homegirl is like a metamorphosis.
That's right. She could change into stuff.
Right, metamorphosis. Right. All right, and then you turn over the black. I love the black hole. And now you gonna go back to Lakata? Let's go here. Baskalaka came out in 78, September 15, 78. They made 24 episodes of Baskalaka. Because, you know why? When they did the pilot, it was a three-part story about Baskalaka. You give a story, and then you turn around, they did the one called The God of War. That's when it had Sheba. And I mean, Joan Lockhart's daughter and Lockhart's daughter as Sheba. And before the right, they actually find Commander Kane with the Pegasus. And turn around,
yes.
Captain Kane at the time was Lord Bridges talking about Commander Dama. I found three base swords. He was three base swords. So happened was like the crew for the Pegasus transferred to the Black Galactic, and Captain Kane disappeared, and we didn't know what happened after that. The same thing they did the remake from the Sci-Fi Channel. The remake did the same exact thing, but how about the Sci-Fi Channel? Where Captain Kane was a woman.
Yeah.
Right, she was a woman, and I don't want to sound negative, but you know, no, she was a lesbian. In that part, that was Michelle Forbes,
played Ensign Rowland.
Yes, the same girl was Ensign Rowland Lahren.
Mm-hmm.
Next, what about the thing with Kurt Russell?
Yep, we talked about that one, and you know,
damn.
We didn't talk about like the best, the ultimate movie, Star Trek V: The
Don't
Final Frontier, 1989.
Wait a minute. Let me run that back for a minute. You tell me the Final Frontier. Don't tell me you saw the Final Frontier.
Yep. Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, 1989.
You guys like that one?
I love it. It's my favorite Star Trek movie. Love it.
You know what? I live in the Bronx, right? I cannot believe I was 16 when that joint came out. I went to see that in Allerton in the Bronx. You know, moved to Allerton, in a neighborhood in the Bronx. I went to see that joint. And I turned around like, I'm like, what? I said, you know what? That was all right. And I said, I love William Shatner as a director. But I said, I give him a little part. It was okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it down. It's okay. I'm not knocking it. It was right. It's like it should be like a little bit more. It's kind of watching Jean Claude Van Damme and Kickboxer or Cyborg. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Okay, damn, what's going on with this? I mean, you know, like Jean Claude Van Damme is like like the fake forget Bruce Lee. Anyway,
well, I'm really glad that we were able to brighten up your birthday, Ray. I think that's great.
Happy birthday, Ray.
But yeah, remember though, I'm like Irish.
So Ray, are you getting the big snowstorm that's coming in Is that gonna clip New York, or are you guys just gonna see rain?
You know, obviously, well, it's gonna be rain. I will ask you guys. It could be because I think it's in different state. But what's going on down there? I mean, y'all guys, it's clear. No, nothing down there, right? In Vermont, nothing there, right?
Well, we're supposed to get a foot of snow.
So having it down here, I'm down here, it's gonna be rain because I'll be having water on my phone talking about, it's gonna be like mad flood watches going on out here, so where I live at over here in the Bronx.
Rain. Yep.
No, it is rain. Like I said, I'd rather take rain than snow like we did the last month. During February. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm walking, I got my camera, everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like this. And then I turn around, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, and then why did that day in February? It was kind of hard for me to walk from here to the store. You know what I'm saying? I don't sound negative or stuff, but before I go ahead, one thing. My wife loves aliens, I'm telling you. You talking about a nickel, everything you watch aliens? Shoot, you better give my wife a fucking dollar and have a quarter.
Well, Ray, we appreciate you taking time out of your birthday to call us.
But anyway, I'm going to see that Ghostbusters tomorrow. Yo, I gotta see this one. I know it's been 40 years. Like I said, everything right now in '84 is 40 years. True, and they're doing everything right now. But like I say, guys, thank you.
Absolutely.
for the thing for my shot last week. You know what I'm saying? I trunk on the phone, and Andy said, "Shot, you give me a shot." Now I say, man, you know what I'm saying? We all family, I will keep in touch, like next week, every week from now on. Because right now, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm trying to finish watching Law Order right now.
All right. Well, you enjoy Law Order, Ray, and we'll talk to you real soon. And enjoy the Ghostbusters.
I will. And guys, I look at the death. I look at the death, man. Peace, and like I said before, kabla.
Kabla. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
So the 80s were not only the 80s were a magical time for movies in general, because we've been talking about sci-fi movies, but like Paul said, we got a bunch of Rocky movies. We got, Chuck Norris movies. We got the Rambo movies. But but lumped in with sci-fi a lot of times are horror movies. And we got the John Carpenter Halloween movies, the Friday the 13th movies, the Freddy Krueger movies, which my good friend Leslie Hoffman was in the first one. And so, the 80s, not only did they bring us some great sci-fi, but we got some really great horror movies franchise that came out in the 80s, of Poltergeist as well. Another one.
Yeah.
Poltergeist. Do you guys remember a movie called, a Ron Howard movie called Cocoon?
No.
I remember it. Yeah.
Was that?
But that was 80s.
Think. How about Batteries Not Included? Was that the 80s?
Yeah, that was 80s. Okay, well, Jim, we talked about Spielberg being a major influence, especially towards teenage and family movies. Who was a big influence there? Do you remember?
Bueller's Day Off.
There's one of them. Who was the
Matthew Broderick?
John Hughes.
Okay.
Look at the number of hits John Hughes came out with.
Oh,
Who didn't have fun watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
The song was very country, let's just say that.
Yeah, you're right. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Who apparently later became John Harriman in Star Trek. The Wrath of,
that's
no,
right.
not Rathacon.
But not until Tuesday.
Yeah. What movie was that? I somehow drew a blank.
Star Trek Generations.
That's right. There we go. But that was in the 80s.
Yeah. Star Trek Generations. But the 80s were such a magic. And you know what? There are some good movies. I don't want to say that, you know, but they just will never recapture that magic of the 80s. There was something, I think Paul touched on it. Every week, I'd have to sit down with my wife, with my girlfriend at the time, and there were literally so many movies playing that you had to pick one over the other. Like, are we going to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark, or are we going to go and see Back to the Future? And today, movie studios will not put movies out back to back with each other. They stagger them because they don't want to steal each other's box office. So usually when a big movie comes out, that is like Ghostbusters is coming out tomorrow. What else is playing besides Ghostbusters that you might want to see?
Actually, there is one movie, and I think it's only playing for a short run. Going back to, I think our original theme of the podcast is "Don't Call Me" or "Just Call Me Bill." Is this weekend also?
Huh.
The William Shatner movie. That's out tomorrow.
But it's a very limited run, though.
It's a limited run. It won't compete against Ghostbusters.
No, and it's not going to be anywhere near me where I can go to see it here. I don't even have a movie theater in Rutland. But my point is, back then, I think, if I remember correctly, I might be wrong, but I think that Batman and Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade all came out at the same time. If I remember correctly.
Well, okay. But the thing is also, nowadays, all the theaters have just about the same movie. Back in the 80s, no, you didn't. It's like, do I want to go to Red Rock to see one movie or go over to Parkway to see another movie? Specific theaters had specific companies. They had specific production companies. Yeah, you had to go dig the paper out and go see what theaters the movie you wanted to see was at and what times they were running.
There was a movie theater in Albany on Wolf Road called Fox Colony Theater, and Fox Colony Theater opened with Star Wars, and the only movie that theater played was Star Wars, and then the only other movie they played was Empire Strikes Back, and they went out of business after Return of the Jedi. Those were the only movies that theater played. And when Return of the Jedi came out, I took Karen to see it, and the only theater we could go to was Fox Colony, and the line was around the theater to see that movie. Because I forgot, you're absolutely right, Charles, that theaters used to sign contracts with studios back then. And they were the only theater that could play that particular movie.
Yep.
So that
changed. But the thing is, everybody wanted to go see Return of the Jedi. Why did they want to go see Return of the Jedi? Not just because it was a Star Wars movie. No, what did we want to find out? What cliffhanger did we get from Empire?
It was
Han Solo.
No, not just Han Solo.
Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt?
Jabba the Hutt.
I am your father.
Vader.
That's right.
Vader. We wouldn't know what the story was with Vader and Luke.
Actually, do you guys know that they are, Disney is actually putting out a story about Vader? A movie, either a movie or a TV series, I can't remember. But I hear rumors that Vader might be coming out.
Interesting.
That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah.
But back in the 80s, it was such, like, I think, you know, Paul said, we had arcades in the 80s, mm-hmm. and we had video stores in the 80s. Movie theaters would play movies only at individual theaters for particular movies. You know, all these things are like alien to my daughter. You know, Jamie doesn't know about arcades. She doesn't know about video stores. A lot of these things just don't exist anymore. Blockbuster
yeah.
Video doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
you know?
No, there's a Blockbuster Video still around. I believe it's no, it's I believe it's in Alaska.
I think
either,
it's in Alaska.
Yes, yeah, either Alaska or one of the other very low populated states around America. I can't remember which one
it was.
I think
it is Alaska.
Yeah. But yeah, they still got a Blockbuster Video up there. And I bet they still use VHS tape too.
They might.
Yeah.
They very well might.
But
I think times were just different back then than they are today.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like Charles had said earlier, I remember HBO was really big at the time, and HBO would get like the movies, and you didn't catch it at the movie theater. You could watch it on HBO. Sitting in your house to watch The Empire Strikes Back on HBO was like a big deal. You know, it was a big event. You know, I'm watching a movie
mm-hmm.
in my house, and HBO was big, really, really big.
One of the movies I'm looking at that I remember watching on one of the movie channels that I think was a B movie, Clash of the Titans.
Oh my God,
yeah.
Charles! I love that movie, the original 1984 movie with Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, that one was a really good one.
81.
I went with my cousin at the movie theater probably 3 or 4 times. I love that, and also I think the guy that played Mickey from the Rocky movies was Burgess Meredith was in that movie as well.
Probably.
That movie just blew my mind with the flying horse and oh man, I love Clash.
They did the Clockwork Owl.
Yeah.
Yep, the owl. That movie is right for a remake.
Oh yeah. Also, Maggie Smith was in there too.
Who's Maggie Smith? Why should I know Maggie Smith?
She's Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
The Titans. Oh, my God. My wife hates that movie. Like, if I put it on, she'll leave. She hates it. She thinks it's cheap and cheese stupid, but I just love it. It's just something about those 80s movies. They're just...
I
actually got one thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap up here, but
go for it.
So I didn't realize this movie came out in the 80s, and it scared the crap out of me when I was younger. And I know that you guys are older in the 80s and probably didn't have a lot of horror movies-ish back in the day, but just a question for you guys. It doesn't matter who starts first. Which movie in the 1980s to the 1989 or 90s even, movies freaked you out the most and you just felt like you had a nightmare afterwards?
Well, that's an easy one for me because Leslie Hoffman was in it, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. And Charles, what about
when
you?
Not the prequels because I'll get to that in a second, but the original Nightmare on Elm Street was a straight-up horror movie. If you went to... Freddie would kill you. And that was the whole premise. Later on, I'm not knocking it. Don't get me wrong because I love those movies. Later on, they kind of, Freddie became the king of the one-liners and you know, he would kill you in creative, fun ways. And you would go to the movies to see how he was going to kill the people and the tone of them changed. They weren't straight horror anymore. But the first one was a straight up horror movie, and I don't think I slept for weeks after seeing the original movie.
Were there a lot of screams at the theater?
At the time. I didn't know that was Leslie in the movie, but yeah, the original Night on Street just scared the living crap out of me as a kid. For sure.
Cool. So what about you, Charles?
Two movies.
both watching on one of the movie channels. One is one of Paul's favorites, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, yep.
I watched that at Saturday. I watched that on a Saturday night, went to bed, and oh, did I have some nightmares off that one. And then one that scared me but was so good was the original Poltergeist.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
I tried watching that movie, and I'm like, nope, can't sit through it. I couldn't watch it.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
Speaking of classics, do you guys remember a movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Leonard Nimoy and John Goldblum?
Kind of, but can I quickly say what
movie
scared me the most that gave me nightmares?
Which, okay, what was it for you, David?
But you guys are probably going to laugh at this, but back in the day,
the
I was really
King?
Young. What's that?
The Donut King?
No.
No?
For some reason, this one scared the crap out of me, and it was called Return to Oz.
I don't think I saw that.
I don't know why, but it freaked the crap out of me. I was like, I just could not sleep that night. But, yeah, apparently that one was a very big horror movie for me back in the day.
No, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's from the 1985.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check
that
one out.
Michael Jackson, I think, was in that one.
Was he? Hmm. I have to look at.
Hey, I'll have to check that out. Michael Jackson.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, you learn something every day.
Deep Roy was in that one.
Deep Roy, yes. Good old Deep Roy. He comes up a lot on this show. He's pretty deep. Very, very deep.
Oh, yeah, Deep Roy is in there. Interesting. I don't see Michael Jackson in here, though. I'm looking it up on
IMDb.
No,
that was a different one.
Okay.
There was, you guys remember a TV show called Time Tracks?
Kind of.
Time Tracks, how about Tech War?
No.
No.
Tech War, I think, was a, familiar, I think it wasn't that, Roddenberry?
I think that was a William Shatner flick. Then Almost Human that had Carl Urban in it. That was another short. Well, a lot of shows were short-lived, like Space Above and Beyond. Yeah, that one kind of came and went, like The Flash, one season and done. A Firefly, one season and done. Another great show. There's been so many TV shows that came and went. Just poof, they were gone. Space Rangers. 6 episodes and gone. Cheesy, but
okay.
There.
But okay, here's one, 70s and 80s, that was always a must-see. In Search of.
Oh, yes. Leonard Nimoy's In Search of. Yeah. Never missed an episode. Loved it.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie?
Okay. I still hear that music in my head. The theme song.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Cruel?
Yes. Yeah.
I've never
actually seen it,
but it looks interesting.
And you want to hear something that every time I put it up on the Trek Talking page, there's at least a dozen or two people who get their minds blown. Do you know who starred as in that movie Crawl as Crawl?
Mm-mm.
With the guy that played the guy from Deep Space Nine that played Eddington, the bad guy that turns on Sisko. I can't remember his name. Commander Eddington from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, the somewhat changeling.
He was Krall. And when his birthday comes up and I put up the picture of him as Krall, people are just blown away that he, because everybody remembers Krall, but they don't remember that guy, you know, 30-some-odd years later, was Commander Eddington in Deep Space Nine, who turned on Sisko.
You want to know who else is in Cruel? Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. Yes, quite kind.
I did not know that he was in there.
Yeah, that's one of those movies, one of those like uber cheesy movies from the 80s that just, and you know, speaking of uber 80 movies, we talked about Flash Gordon at the top of the show because that's one of my favorites. But something that you might not know or be aware of as Flash Gordon, when Flash Gordon came out in the movies, there was a big legal battle over who owned Flash Gordon, blah, 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 blah. And it didn't come out on home video. And the only way to get it was at bootlegged at conventions. Same thing. There was another movie. I don't know how I forgot about this one. There was another movie that came out in the 80s. The same thing. It was called Heavy Metal. It was an animated movie. And Journey's Open Arms was in that movie. Was in that movie, and Devo and Stevie Nicks. A lot of great music in that movie. Black Sabbath, Sammy Hagar. And because of the music, the movie never came out on video. And so you go to these conventions and you could buy a VHS bootleg copy of Flash Gordon and Heavy Metal. And then you'd go back and you'd watch them to death. And in fact, Flash Gordon didn't officially come out on DVD and Blu-ray until just recently, like really recently. And I was so excited because now I can actually get a full Blu-ray copy of Flash Gordon. Back in the day, you couldn't. It was one of those oddball things.
Weird.
Well, okay. Jim, I'll name you a series, and you cannot find it. You will never find it released because of music. And we got to dive into the 70s. WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yes, that's another good one.
You'll never see it streamed. You'll never see it streamed. You'll never get it digital. There's too much music on there to fight over.
Wow.
Here's a movie I forgot.
I am mentioning another one in the chat there, Arachnophobia, which I remember seeing in the theater, and I loved it. I loved it. Did you guys see Arachnophobia?
No, I kind of am Arachnophobia.
I don't think I saw that one.
How about Eight-Legged Freaks?
Was that 1980s or in the 80s?
I think that might have been the 90s. Sliders, I think that was the 90s as well.
Yeah. Here's a movie I totally forgot. It's called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, you know, David, there are just so many. So how about you, David? What are some of your favorites? I mean, we've been hogging up the whole show because we're old guys. But how about you?
Well, I was such a big fantasy guy back in the day, which I still am, you know, Lord of the Rings and everything like that. But Willow was definitely my favorite 1980s film. And I got introduced to a lot of different comedies, movies, such as Pee Wee's Big Adventure, which today, for some odd reason, Pee-wee, I just can't seem to watch anymore for some reason. But, you know, I was back then. So, another one I actually liked was called The Secret of Nim. It was a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
That was an animated series.
Yeah. And my parents used to watch this kind of almost every Christmas. I mean, almost every Christmas, but it was called The Christmas Story, or A Christmas Story.
I hate to say this, I actually saw that movie in the theater.
Really?
I saw it the year it came out.
Nice.
In the movie theater, and that thing is such a cult classic.
A Christmas Story. I still see, like, up in this window, when we go window shopping every once in a while, me and my wife, I would see a lamp in the window that's the leg lamp. And I'm like, I always get reminded of that movie. I'm like, you try to talk to my wife about it, and, like, you know what that's from. And she's like, nope. it's really interesting to see, like, different memories when you just see certain objects. But Another favorite of mine was The Labyrinth. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that's a classic. Did you ever watch The Bionic Man, David?
With Robin Williams?
Lee Majors?
No. Lee Majors. No.
So, my wife...
I don't think so.
Oh.
...here, and it was almost bedtime, but it was a little bit too early to go to bed, so we were looking for something to watch that we hadn't seen in ages. And she's flipping through, I think it might have been MeTV. I'm not positive. And pilot episode, the very first episode of The Bionic Man was on. And I remember that show. Just, like, because, like, he was a bionic guy, and they'd be like, like when he jumped in slow motion, it was, I remember all those things. So I said to my wife, let's watch The Bionic Man. I remember watching this as a kid and loving it. So we put it on and we started watching it, and we got to the first commercial break and we looked at each other and we're like, no, can't do it any longer. I just can't watch it. So cheesy, so bad. What made it cheesy and bad for me was growing up as a kid, I had no reference. So, yeah, I loved it. Watching it now and seeing that all the clips that they pulled out of other TV shows and, you know, they use clips from this and clips from that to try to make it look better and the computers. I was just like, oh, my God, this is just wow. I can't watch this anymore. That's a very rare does that happen, but my childhood memory is better than the actual show. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. That seems with a lot of the movies we've seen as a younger age, and it seems like you can't seem to watch anymore because it doesn't seem to click anymore for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Late 70s, early 80s. Let me rack Jim's brain. ABC, what two shows were we watching Saturday night?
ABC, I don't know what channel that was. 6:10 or 13, I don't remember the network. I don't know. What are they?
There was, you want cheesy. The Love Boat? And
Love
Fantasy
Boat.
Island.
Oh,
Love
yeah.
Boat, Fantasy Island.
Leslie was on that, too.
Huh.
Yep. Ricardo Montalban.
Yep.
So here's an interesting TV series I actually just started watching not too long ago that I found out was in the 1982. Ran from 82 to 87. And I think somebody in here might know this TV show. It's called Remington Steele.
Oh, yeah.
With Pierce Bronson.
Yeah.
Pierce Bronson.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually a really good show.
I want to throw – I'm not sure if this is the 80s. I think that it was. And it's not actually sci-fi, but this particular movie was. You guys remember – of James Bond movie.
Which one?
Which one?
Well, there was a James Bond movie where they were flying around on the space shuttle.
A Moonraker.
Moonraker. Yep, Moonraker it is. You remember that? It came out around the Star Wars craze. And what's his face was in it? Jaws. Was in it, and he gets a girlfriend.
Shark was in it?
and it was one of those, let's take advantage of the space race thing, and they're flying around with lasers and stuff. I know it's James Bond, but it's kind of fits into the sci-fi bracket.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Everybody had a sci-fi boat back then.
Okay, James Bond with a bit of a sci-fi. Which is the only rock chart hit from James Bond in the 80s?
Wasn't that Paul McCartney's Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die was 70s.
Huh.
Even made it to MTV. Nope.
For Duran Duran, View to a Kill?
Yep. View to a Kill.
Huh.
Another classic movie. That's when Timothy Dalton played Bond, and he was Prince Farron in Flash Gordon. And he would go on to become James Bond.
There were five Bonds in the 80s.
Wow.
For Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, View to a Kill, Living Daylights, and License to Kill.
And these were all Sean Connery in it?
No. Oh, no. Sean Connery, no, let's see. Sean Connery didn't do one in the 80s. He was still 70s.
Oh, okay.
Roger Moore did the first three, and Timothy Dalton did the second two.
Hmm.
That was the era that Bond was big in the 80s, too.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention, we were talking about Arnold movies. There was one we didn't mention called The Last Action Hero.
Oh, yeah.
An interesting movie that did not do well at the movie theaters. One of those rare Arnold movies that just didn't catch on with the audiences. Not a bad movie, per se, actually, but Last Action Hero was another one. Was that 89? I don't know the date.
I don't remember.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How about comedy? Was Kevin
Total Recall, classic for sure. Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Running Man.
Yeah.
Another classic Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. We didn't talk about Predator 2 with Danny Glover.
Yeah, but Arnold wasn't in that one, I thought.
No, Arnold wasn't, but Danny Glover was.
Yeah.
That was what Danny Glover picked up the mantle of Arnold Schwarzenegger and ran with it. How about Starship Troopers? Was that the 80s?
I think so.
I mean, start talking about 80s, but I think Starship Troopers, Michael Ironside, Casper Van Damme, and...
Nope. 97.
What?
Okay.
Here's a movie we forgot to talk about with Chevy Chase. It's a comedy called Funny Farm.
Yep, filmed here in Vermont.
Nice.
Yep. You can actually take a tour and go to all those towns if you want
to. Oh, really?
Yep. Interesting. So, anyways, guys, can you believe that we spent 2 hours talking about the 80s?
We can go 2 hours more.
Yeah.
Hard to, I mean, yeah. Let me tell you. Okay, I'm going to set the way back machine. Let's go, say, I don't know, 1983. Okay? So, 1983, I would go and take the bus, and I would go up to my girlfriend, to my wife Karen's house, my girlfriend at the time in high school. We would take the bus. We would go to the mall. And the first thing we would do when we got to the mall is we'd go to the taco place, we'd grab some tacos, and we would play an arcade game called Kangaroo, and we'd play that game. We'd hang out at the mall, we'd go to the record store, buy some records, and then by that time we'd go to the arcade, play Pac-Man, whatever was, you know, Space Invaders, Asteroids, and then we would go to the movies. And we would see Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. And then after the movie, we would go and we'd get some pizza at the pizza joint in the mall. And then we would get on the bus and we would go home. And that would be our typical Saturday. Every Saturday, we take the bus to the mall, play some arcade games, shop at the record store, go see a movie, and take the bus home before I got my car, my driver's license. And every weekend, we'd go see a different movie. We play arcade games, and that was our basic Saturday. We would hang out at the mall, play arcade games. Lots of quarters. You had to have
Jim,
a lot of quarters.
going back on the way back machine for me,
summer 1985 to summer 1986. I had moved to California, was going to a trade school, and Saturday night, have nothing to do, take the paper, pop it open, and see what movie looked good. And I do a movie on Friday night and a movie on Saturday night. And I saw so many movies at that time.
Nice.
Back in the good old days. Yep.
And, in fact, I'll give you a cult classic for the 85 that to me was influential because the music was a teen flick called Better Off Dead.
Oh, my God. I want my $2.
Yes.
Yep. That was, wow.
And that's such a cult classic, but I love that thing.
And
the thing is, I got the movie. I went and saw the movie, went and grabbed the soundtrack, and I couldn't find one song on there. Had to go look up this artist up, and got a true introduction to Howard Jones.
Now, is that the movie with Van Halen's Everybody Wants Some with the dancing hamburger? Okay.
Yes, it is.
That is a classic. So, guys, we're down to 3 minutes. Hard to believe.
Could I say what I was doing in the 1980s?
Were you born in the 1980s yet?
Yeah, 1980-something. I just remember a dark room. I haven't been born yet.
He was in a dark room eating donuts.
Actually, my very first memory of ever watching any movies was from like 1988-89 called The Land Before Time, which was a cartoon about dinosaurs.
Yep, I remember it well.
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you to Ray for giving us a call in, and happy birthday to Ray from the Bronx. And of course, thank you to our very own Paul for hanging out with us as well. And Eric, I hope you're enjoying your vacation. And I want to let you guys know that next week we're going to have another I guess we will be talking about Star Trek as well. But next week we're going to have Dr. Miko on from Miko Action Figures, Miko Corporation. They made the original Star Trek action figures in the 70s, and they're still producing them today. And we're going to have Paul Clark on the show to talk about producing these awesome action figures and what's new, what's going on, what goes into making them, how they choose the figures they're going to make. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Paul, being an avid toy collector on the show, our very own toy guy, Paul, it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you guys are interested in the toy collections, you want to hang out next week because we're going to be talking to Mr. Miko himself. So that'll be same bat time, same bat channel. Make sure you head over to trektalking.com. And when you get there, there's all kinds of great stuff. You can listen to all of our previous shows. You can listen to last week's show, interview with David Gerald. A lot of fun. And you can click on the little Facebook logo in the corner, go right to our new Facebook page, and there's all kinds of great stuff there. So go and check that out. We could really use some likes and some follows. So please do that if you get a chance. And I want to say thank you to Paul for Charles for hanging out with us and sharing some movie memories. Thank you so much, Charles.
Oh, 80s was one of my big eras. So many memories.
Yeah, lots of great stuff. And thank you so much to our very own donut guy, David, for hanging out and chatting with us as well. Thank you, David.
Nom, 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 nom. Yeah, great.
Thanks, sir. And, of course, I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, and I'm telling everybody to please stay safe and be good. Star Trek fans are the best fans. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
Hello, you have reached view continuum. We are unable to get to the phone right now because we are busy living in a plane of existence your feeble mortal minds cannot possibly comprehend. Furthermore, it's pointless to leave a message because we, of course, already knew that you would call, and we simply do not care. Have a nice day.